Welcome to the GBC Sermon Podcast, a weekly podcast from Gamia Baptist Church in Sydney, Australia. I'm Mark Rader, senior pastor here at GBC, and I'm so glad you've joined us again this week. This week, as part of our series Plan A, Five Principles of Evangelism for Every Christian, Matt Willis is looking at the second principle of knowing. And in this passage, he's going to be looking at the example that Jesus has with Matthew, the tax collector, and how Jesus notices and connects, and then gives Matthew a purpose.
Hi, church. This is Summer, here to give you today's Bible reading. I'll be reading from Matthew 9:9 onwards. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," he told him. And Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have come not to call the righteous, but sinners."
Simone Weil, a French philosopher who lived in the first half of the 20th century, wrote that attention is the rarest and purest form of generosity. Now, I don't know about you, but when I tend to think about generosity, I think about those big, exceptional mountaintop moments, those situations where the target seems unattainable, where the goal feels insurmountable. And yet, despite the obstacle, despite everything that is before us, we tend to witness a community of people, a nation, or even the globe come together in this beautiful display of overflow. I think back to the beginning of the year when Australia was literally on fire, and a comedian by the name of Celeste Barber created a GoFundMe page on her Facebook, a simple GoFundMe page that later raised over $50 million for the RFS. I think about situations a little bit closer to home within our GBC community, where in the midst of a global pandemic, we saw almost $250,000 raised to support projects around the world during May Mission Month. Or where we saw more than 170 cars come through Hope Drive, donating food for individuals and families who were struggling at this time. When I think about generosity, I think about those big, giant moments. That's what I celebrate. And we should celebrate them. They are incredible examples of open-heartedness. But I think if we were to ask Simone Weil, she would say that generosity starts in the subtle, sometimes silent moments of life. In those small, simple social exchanges that are available to us each and every day. Seemingly insignificant interactions that actually have a huge impact. A smile between strangers. A seat offered on the bus or train. A conversation shared in the line for your morning coffee. This is where we can experience the richest form of generosity. But this is also the space that we tend to miss the most. Paying attention to those around us can speak value without saying a word. Paying attention can create connection that would have otherwise been overlooked. And paying attention can open up our eyes to see the work of God in the world around us. Paying attention is the purest form of generosity, and it is also an essential part in our evangelism. As we continue to look at Plan A, the second principle of us living out the Great Commission is knowing people. We are called to be relational, but more than that, we are called to be intentional about our relationships. Because the best way for someone to get to know Jesus is to know someone who already does. And surprise, surprise, that's where we come in. So then, how do we become a people who are actively seeking out opportunities to know others so that they might come to know Jesus? Well, it starts with noticing. Looking at the passage in Matthew chapter 9, we see Jesus get to know a group of people, a group of tax collectors and sinners. And the passage begins with Jesus paying attention. I find it really interesting that this interaction with Matthew and the tax collectors is sandwiched between two really big situations. Beforehand, Jesus heals a paralyzed man, and right after, he's the center of a robust debate around the practice of fasting. So fair to say that Jesus is a busy guy. He's got things on his mind, he's got places to be, and yet he doesn't let that deter him, he doesn't let that stop him from taking notice. In verse 9, it says, he saw a man named Matthew. And this phrase, he saw, or Jesus saw, is scattered throughout the Gospels. Jesus is continuously and consistently seeing people who would otherwise be overlooked, seeing people and noticing people who would otherwise be ignored. Now, the Greek word for see is eidon. And this word describes so much more than simply seeing someone's physical presence. To eidon, or to see, it meant to discern, to find out, to be aware of, to consider and to perceive, to experience and to investigate. When Jesus notices someone, he sees them, all of them. And I find it really interesting because I think in some big or small way, we all want to be noticed, don't we? Even if you're someone who might consider yourself shy, there is this innate part of us craving to be noticed. Whether it's something that we've experienced, something that we've achieved, or something that we're working towards, we like it to be noticed. Sometimes by a lot of people, and other times only by our closest few. Because being noticed speaks value. Being noticed means that I'm important enough for someone to pay attention, to be interested, to be invested. We all want to be noticed. But on the flip side of that very same coin, we're all not that great at noticing others. And the reason for this is because we don't take the time to slow down. There is an undercurrent within our culture that values the speed in which we live our lives, and it is only getting faster. I find it incredibly ironic that in a society where the majority of innovative ideas are centered around the desire to save us time, majority of us would still consider ourselves to be time poor. It's ironic that despite the fact that we are supposedly saving time with things like Uber Eats, because who's got time to drive up to the shops anymore? Or streaming platforms, because who has the time to sit through ads? Or instant messaging, because who has the time for a long-winded phone call? It's ironic that despite the time that we are supposedly saving, we are still as busy as ever. And it's affecting our ability to notice people. We live in a fast-paced world where everything that we perceive is assessed and processed at a glance. And this is only reinforcing, it's only enabling an attitude that is already prevalent within our culture, which is to be self-centered, to be more concerned with the me than the we. But to notice someone, to actually know someone, we need to look outside of ourselves. It's not enough to simply see someone's world. We need to then step into it. Because once we notice someone, there is then an invitation for us to connect with them. During high school, I had a part-time job at Big W working on the checkouts. And it was a fast-paced job. People wanted to get in, they wanted to get out. They wanted to get their stuff and go. No connection, just transaction. And working there, I felt the pressure to conform to that pace, to enable it, to facilitate it. So much so that on one occasion, a woman came through my checkout and I noticed her. I noticed that she was frazzled. Her hands were shaking and stumbling over her money. I noticed that she was upset. She was crying and there was a quiver in her voice. I noticed that she was holding an envelope, one of those envelopes that tend to hold medical scan results. I noticed her and I had a choice. Do I connect or not? I might be able to comfort her, to be helpful in some small way that might ease the pain or the anxiety that she's feeling. But at the same time, my eye glanced to the ever-growing line of customers behind her. People checking their watches, fidgeting on the spot with subconscious anxiety that they're not moving fast enough. I had a choice to connect. And instead, I handed her her receipt and let her leave. I noticed her, but I did nothing about it. And more than 15 years later, I still think about this woman. And I often wonder what would have happened. What conversation could have occurred? What might she have shared if I had just lent into the opportunity to connect? It starts with noticing, which leads to connecting. Jesus didn't stop with simply noticing people. He then engages with them and creates a connection with them. He doesn't allow social perception and pressure to dictate who he builds a relationship with. As we return to Matthew 9, there are two very distinct groups of people in this passage. The Pharisees and the tax collectors, the sinners. And they represent the most and the least pious people that you could meet in daily life. The Pharisees with their rituals and righteousness. The tax collectors, known for their corruption and collaboration with the empire. To know the former was to have great honor, and yet the latter would bring shame upon your house simply by entering it. And yet what we see is that Jesus pauses. He notices, and then we see him creating a connection with these people by doing three very simple and yet impactful things. He gives them time, he shares a meal with them, and he enters into their space of comfort. Jesus pauses his journey in order that he can enter into someone else's. He goes to their home where they feel safe, and he has dinner with them, knowing a truth that we have probably all experienced, which is that food creates depth. If we want to be connecting with others, we need to follow Jesus' example. We need to be willing to give people our time. We need to practice more hospitality, and we need to be willing to leave our safe space in order to step into someone else's. But too often, we allow fear and the pressure of pace to disconnect us from others. We say time? Who's got time? But the truth is we all do. We simply need to reevaluate how we prioritize it. And I'm not talking about giving people time in those incidental bump-ins or time given during a normal routine, seeing work friends at work, school friends at school, or sport friends at sport. I'm talking about setting time apart, being intentional. Because in a world where time is the hot commodity, where time is the currency that we all trade in, to give that up freely, to hand that over to someone and say, "This is for you," that's powerful, that's significant. And we need to practice more hospitality in our lives. How many of us have sat around a table and it started with sharing food and has ended with sharing stories, sharing experiences, sharing life? Hospitality brings people together, not just physically, but relationally. But it requires vulnerability, and we stop there. But the truth is, if we're not willing to go deep with others, then we're only sentencing ourselves to a life of shallow relationships. Just as a tree needs deep soil to grow, we too need deep relationships to grow. And we need to be willing to step into other people's spaces. Because forcing someone to step out of their comfort zone leaves them feeling anxious and closed off. But when I'm in my own space, when I'm relaxed, I'm far more open to connection and conversation. And so we need to enter other people's safe space to help them be open to the good news. But too often we tend to think that by stepping into someone else's space, it means that we're approving of something that we shouldn't approve of. And I want to tell you right now that we need to let go of that fear. Jesus eating with sinners and tax collectors got him the reputation of approving of that behavior. But the truth is that he understood that by entering into their space, he was best able to invite them into a new space, into the kingdom of God. Which leads me to my final point. It starts with noticing, which leads to connecting, which allows for purpose. At the end of this passage, we see Jesus laying it all out on the table for the Pharisees who were questioning his actions and his relationships. It's not the healthy that need a doctor, but those who are ill, he says. I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners. Now, we don't know how the others at that dinner responded after meeting Jesus. We don't know how their life might have been changed. But we do know one thing. We do know how this interaction, how this connection with Jesus changed Matthew. He left his old life behind and started a new one with Jesus. He learned from Jesus, lived with Jesus, and then shared the teaching, the life, the call of Jesus with others. By Jesus taking the time to notice Matthew, by having a connection with Matthew, by being purposeful in his relationship with Matthew, Matthew was transformed. And our relationships are an essential part to our evangelism. Because knowing people opens up opportunities for them to get to know Jesus through each and every one of us. Now, it's important to understand that this isn't about making friends just to convert them. If our only motivation for getting to know someone is to get them to know Jesus, then we're probably setting ourselves up for many failed and broken friendships. We need to remember that it isn't us who are restoring and redeeming all things, it is Christ. And we simply get to participate with his work by providing opportunities for God to connect with those who we know. But it is essential work. And it is an essential invitation for us to understand that our relationships can soften a person's heart towards the good news. Our relationship can be the avenue that the Holy Spirit takes to enter into someone else's life. God created us to be relational. He created us to be in relationship with him and to be in relationship with others. And this is one of the reasons why. Now, to know someone, to truly know them, is becoming increasingly difficult. But we need to be intentional in this space. In a world that is only increasing in pace, that is self-centered and superficial, we need to be countercultural. As the world speeds up around us, we need to be willing to slow down and pause. as our days and weeks are filled with the next thing that we need, we must open our eyes to the needs of others. And in a world that values quantity over quality, we need to be willing to go deeper and be vulnerable with those who we know. And it won't always be easy. Like most things that God calls us into, we need to be deliberate. We must learn where it is that we can grow, and then we need to practice. Psychologists have actually found that unlike our more instantaneous responses to physical stimuli like pain, it takes time for our brain to comprehend the emotional and relational dimensions of a situation. And the more distracted we become, the more emphasis we will put on speed at the expense of depth. And the more distracted we are by what is happening for us, the less likely we are to care about others. The flow of water carves a rock a little bit at a time. And our willingness to see others, to connect with them, and to know them is carved too by the flow of our habits. And we need to develop the habit, the practice of seeking people out, investing our time and attention in order to know them more deeply. Sharing our own experiences of Jesus, our own failures and victories of faith, and allowing Jesus to do the rest. Knowing, trusting, and believing that God is using each and every one of us, the relationships that we have, to reveal Himself to those who we know. It starts with noticing, which leads to connecting, which allows for purpose. And we have a purpose, and it's to make disciples. And we can do that by building deep connections with those around us. And it starts by slowing down and taking notice.
For each one of us, we are challenged to notice people around us, to then build purposeful connections in order that we might invite people to know and follow Jesus, even as we are. This second principle of Plan A is such a tangible and practical one, and I hope that you were encouraged not only by what you have learned, but also to put those things into practice. We hope you join us again soon, and would love for you to join us for church at gbconline.org.au at our regular service times of 8:30, 10:30, and 6 p.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time. We also are trialing a 4 p.m. service as well. You can also follow us on Facebook or visit our website at guymeabaptist.org.au. Until next time, God bless.